You're listening to Mind Over Markets, a podcast on trading psychology to help you build a bulletproof mindset. Here's your hosts, George Papazov and Mark Borscht.
Hello, trade pros, and welcome back to another episode of the Mind Over Markets podcast with your host, myself, Mark Borscht, and
George Papazov. Geez, this mic is really loud. I like it.
I like it as well. Welcome back, guys. In today's episode, we're going to be discussing how to use uncertainty as an advantage in your life and in your trading. Now, as a species, humans hate, and I'm going to capitalize this word and bold it, humans hate uncertainty. In fact, all you have to do is look back at our prehistoric ancestors. And the image I kind of want you to get here is that of a caveman. Imagine a caveman is in his cave, feeling a little bit of hunger in the stomach, and he's got to leave that cave to go forage for food. All right. The cave is certain because there's safety in the cave. However, when the caveman goes out of that cave, he might stumble across, I don't know, a large and a fierce animal that he might have never seen before. Now, what would you imagine the immediate reaction to be? More likely than not, you're not going to sit there and think about whether you can fight this thing. You are going to get the heck out of there. All right. And that is how the human mind deals with uncertainty. It would rather avoid it because a human mind is wired for control, right? Because anything that the human mind can't control, it sees as uncertain and it sees as a risk to your being.
You know, I kind of don't have to imagine being a caveman. I look like one. I got this long beard I haven't shaved in ages. So
I love it.
I hear you 100%.
Right. So let's say Georgie was out there. If you saw a big tiger or something like that, saber tooth, would you be thinking whether you can defend yourself or not?
No way. I'm making a run for it.
Exactly. And so, you know, it held true back in those days and it even holds true in today's world, right? So uncertainty, it makes us worry. It provides stress and it also causes some anxiety simply because of all of the unknown possibilities of the things that can go wrong. And this generally results in people viewing uncertainty as a bad thing. But think for a second, where does that get you? Where does seeing uncertainty as a bad thing get you? Unfortunately, it gets you stuck in the fear of the unknown. All right. And so uncertainty can either be an opportunity or it can be an obstacle. And our goal for today's session is to help you see it as an opportunity. So let's get started.
Thank you, Marky. And that's a really good point. You know, we're in times of uncertainty, and what is important is how you really respond in these type of conditions. In tough times, you know, true competitors thrive and create opportunities for themselves. Just like us as traders, the stock market's been making historic moves and creating a lot of opportunities for trained traders. Join us at TradePro Academy and start learning what moves markets and how to create the mindset of winners. We're in a fierce competition, and it really takes the right mindset to win on a consistent basis in trading. From stocks to options to futures and trading psychology, we have everything you need for any stage of your trading career. Join our community today. Check us out at tradeproacademy.com. And now, back to the show.
Awesome. Thank you for that message. So back to uncertainty. As you guys might be familiar with us, or if you guys are newer, we like to define what we're going to be talking about. And so let's take a moment here to define uncertainty. So uncertainty, I guess the Webster's Dictionary definition of it would be something along the lines of the state of being uncertain. Who would have thought, right?
Yeah.
Another definition is it's something that is uncertain or causes one to feel uncertain.
Yeah. And you know, this is very important. There's two types of uncertainties, Mark. And this is a very interesting concept to explore in a trading podcast, right? Most people wouldn't think this would impact their trading, but look at it this way. You know, there's the state of being uncertain, and then there's something that's factually uncertain. Like not knowing the weather tomorrow is a factual uncertainty. There's prediction models to tell you what it's going to be like, but nobody really knows. But I think what's dangerous is the state of being uncertain, right? Mm-hmm. Something could be uncertain as a fact, but that doesn't have to make you uncertain. And so there's some things that are inherently uncertain and other things that make us feel that way, which is the interesting part. And being able to separate and know the difference between the two is going to be what helps you. So, for example, facts that are uncertain or verifiable, they're observable, whereas a state is your interpretation of that fact. So you're interpreting something that's factual and you're creating it an internal state. And then the danger to that is, you know, the fact itself lives on its own, but your interpretation creates a whole mindset. You know, if you feel uncertain, you got to ask yourself the question, what are you feeling uncertain about? If it's something like the weather, you know, the fact is it could change. But why do you need to feel uncertainty towards the weather? You could take action to be prepared. So there's many different ways to interpret facts, and we can't really prevent ourselves from interpreting them, especially everything that happens around us, right? However, what we can do, and this is where we get into the NLP, is become aware of our interpretations, right? Awareness is huge. So two people could see the exact same event and interpret it as uncertain or something that is certain. So the way to really get grasp of this is to realize you have a choice in how you interpret things. And, you know, there are times where I felt uncertain, especially in trading. I got to tell you the truth. Every time I'm in a trade, I feel uncertain, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because the outcome of the market is you don't know what's going to happen. And so how do people try to respond when they're feeling uncertain? They try to buy systems, indicators. They're looking to buy certainty.
Buy certainty or outsource it.
Or outsource it. Exactly. Yeah. But uncertainty in the market is a fact. It's not something that you perceive as uncertain. You don't look at the market and say, oh, this thing is uncertain. My career is uncertain. That's your interpretation of it. But factually, market is the business of pricing uncertainty. And so that being the fact, people choose to take that information and then interpret it as being uncertain themselves, right? And interpreting it, that creates what? The state of uncertainty. And so if you're in an uncertain state, what does that do? You don't really, there is no right solution. There is no right answer. There is no knowing how the market's going to move. If anyone knew where the market's going to go, it wouldn't go there. It wouldn't exist.
Yeah, there'd be no market.
Exactly. And so the problem is that the brain processes facts and beliefs through the same neural networks. So, you know, you've probably heard examples of this, you know, athletes who visualize making the hoop or making the shot have a higher success rate of actually doing it in person. So whether you're physically practicing or practicing mentally, it increases tangibly your results.
Interesting.
Right? Yeah. And I mean, there's a lot of examples, right? I was reading a book, it was Michael Jordan's old coach. What was the book called? Relentless.
Okay.
I think Tim Grover. And he was saying that Michael Jordan would have elements of training that were physical and then elements of training that were mental. So he would visualize his performance as much as he would practice it on the court, right? And it's been shown through numerous experiments, athletes who visualize things create those outcomes in game action. And so this is why this is important, this discussion is that when the brain processes a fact, like the market is uncertain, and your beliefs about the market being uncertain, it makes it sometimes hard to distinguish between the two. So what I want to tell you is this. It's not disputable. The market is a field of uncertainty. We don't know what's going to happen, right? But that doesn't mean you have to feel uncertain about it. And once you accept, hey, you know, because if you're uncertain, that really triggers a reptilian brain response. Uncertainty means that there's a probability that you're going to get seriously hurt, right? Especially in training. And when you trigger that reptilian brain that's kept us safe, it turns off your logic. Have you ever encountered the time where you've had a trading plan and then that's at 9 a.m. and then at 4 p.m. you're like, what the heck happened? Who was trading? It wasn't me.
Yeah, well, definitely. I think anybody listening to this, you know, that has actually put on live trades, they'll know that feeling, because regardless of whether you're a new trader, whether you're a seasoned trader, you know, at any point in anybody's journey, they will have done that. And, you know, to that point, it still does happen here and there. You know, obviously you can't nip it in the butt completely, because we're all humans, we make mistakes. But at the end of the day, I think anybody would be lying to you if they said they haven't,
right?
Haven't really had that experience.
And I'm there too. You know, I've experienced the same thing. And the problem is that if you think that the market is factually uncertain, but if you take that and start to feel uncertain yourself, uncertainty spells danger to your subconscious mind, right? Because it doesn't know the difference between losing a trade or getting mauled by a tiger in the wild, right? So once you put the potential there that you're going to get hurt, your logical brain shuts off because you don't want to think logically in times of need. You want to think with your reptilian instinct. It's much faster. In fact, your neural network responds quicker to danger physically than it does mentally. If you had to think, it would triple your response time. It's insane.
So yeah, that makes sense.
That reflex, that instinctual reflex, is the reason we've survived. So the reason I mention all that is that at the end of the day, if you choose to feel uncertain while trading, you're shutting off the part of you that's supposed to execute the plan. You're not going to stay rational if you feel uncertain. So what's important here is you take the two and you disconnect them. You say, look, there are things in this world that are uncertain, but I don't have to feel that way. You could be in an uncertain situation and feel confident.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're controlling your state. And I want to mention this one part before we open up the discussion is, if you have a bias, so this is shown by research, if you have a bias towards negativity, so if you're more of a negative person whose first instinctual thought about anything is, you know, the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
If you're a worst case scenario person, you'll tend to interpret the facts according to the worst case scenario. So let me give you an example. In your day-to-day life, if you tend to skew more to negative reactions, you approach something with uncertain behavior, like the market, right? You assume the identity of uncertainty, which is your interpretation. The next thing that you're going to do is assume the worst case scenario. What is that? I'm going to lose money today.
Yep.
The market's uncertain. That's a fact. I've chosen to feel uncertain myself. That's a choice. And now suddenly, what are you doing if your negative outlook? You're saying, I'm going to lose a bunch of money. I'm going to lose this much. I'm going to lose that much. Any thought is a direct command to create. And so that's how an uncertain fact translates into a losing trader without any thought. And you trigger that to happen automatically with your subconscious mind. So here's an example. If you got fired from a job, two ways somebody could interpret it. I'll read person one, you do two. How about that?
I love it.
Person one, how crummy. Ah, damn, this isn't me. I should have been person two. This is going to hurt.
Got him.
Yeah. This is going to hurt because I don't talk or think like this. But you lose a job, person number one, how crummy. I knew this would happen. How am I going to get another job again? This is a crazy market. With COVID, look how bad the economy is. I hate this. You know, we had an interview round for two people we hired and we heard a lot of this. How will I support my family? What do I do next? Worst case scenarios with information. I didn't check the checklist. Step number one is put your phone on silent. Let me do that.
All right.
Yeah, so that's a negative interpretation to losing a job. Now there's another person that could look at it differently.
And that person is me. And now, so imagine I got fired, and if I'm looking at things optimistically, you know, focused on the abundance of life, I would say something along these lines. Well, at least now I can consider an opportunity and do something I love and finally create the life that I want.
Now, here's the question, Mark, and you're biased because you're participating in this, but the people listening to the podcast, here's a question for you. You have $200,000 of money that you worked really hard to save. Who do you hire to manage your money, person one or person two, right? And so who do you think is going to succeed in the market, person one or person two? It's funny because when we're betting on other people, it's an easier decision. But when the reflection's internal, you know, it becomes super difficult. We might not even realize which person we are. Everything's blurred.
Yep, that's exactly true. And I just want to touch on a couple of points that Georgie mentioned when discussing kind of uncertainty and its applications with neurolinguistic programming.
Sorry, I went rapid fire there, Mark.
No, that was perfect.
Let me breathe.
Yeah, that was perfect. We'll give Georgie a chance for a glass of water. And really what I wanted to get across was this. You know, if you're the type of person that tends to view things negatively, like the way Georgie said, the markets in themselves are, it's an uncertain thing, right? We don't know what's going to happen next. Nobody knows what price is going to do. We only have somewhat of an edge in the sense that when a certain circumstance comes about or a certain situation or scenario comes about, we can, if we have a trading plan, we'll know that if this occurs, we have, let's say, 60% probability it'll go in our favor. But if you're coming into this with the view that the market's uncertain and then you make the choice that you're uncertain and then you come in with the first thought being, I'm going to lose money today. Guess what kind of setups you're gonna see, right? In the market, every single day, there's profitable opportunities, and then there's the opportunities that you probably shouldn't take, right? both people looking at the exact same market, they'll see different things. The person that comes in with the negative outlook, you know, thinking the markets are uncertain, which is a truth, but then they make the conscious choice that they're uncertain, they're more likely going to be spotting those opportunities that are subpar, you know, not the higher quality ones. Whereas the person that comes in understanding and accepting the fact that the market is uncertain, but they don't choose to be uncertain in participating in the marketplace, then they will more likely than not start to see the same thing as the other trader, but in this case, they'll be focused on the opportunities that are likely going to win.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's effectively what they've instilled.
And so you bring up a really good point there, Mark, because that whole process you described, this is a really good opportunity for a little psychology nugget to throw in here, is a process that's, it's a recent discovery. This was discovered in the early 1990s, which is recent in humanity. It's called mirror neurons. Have you heard of it, of that concept? You're about to.
This is the first time, yeah.
So you're about to. So in the early 1990s, in a random lab somewhere in Italy, they were doing tests on primates. They always test on monkeys. Poor monkey. You know, I don't want to be a monkey in my next life. Or whatever life I go to, I don't want to be a monkey. I don't want to be tested on. But, you know, Italian researchers found that macaw monkeys, when they were monitored with electrodes in their mind, the monkey who picked up the object that was being watched by two other monkeys, let's say, the monkey that picked up the object fired certain neurons in their head. Fascinatingly, the other two monkeys that didn't pick up the object, even though they observed it, fired the exact same neurons as if though they did it. See, the crazy implication here is, you know how when you want a car, your dream car, and you finally get it, you realize a lot of other people have it too? So that's mirror neurons. So the way that you fire your neural network, you're creating like a hardened version of it. So somebody who's negative has conditioned themselves to fire neurons that create negative imagery, because that's your response. You've created that through habit. If you're constantly negative, you create negative habits. Habits is just neuroplasticity. It's creating these solidified patterns over time. So the interesting thing is what happens in the brain is when you're negative, when you're feeling a state of uncertainty, you're going to fire the parts of your brain that create uncertainty, because those mirror neurons just activate to mirror your thought process and others. And guess what? If you start out trading with negativity and now you're uncertain, you're scared, you're fearful, and you go through three weeks and you're doing it on sim, you say to yourself, I haven't lost any money, so I'm learning, right? What you're learning is bad habits, because now the next time you start trading, when you go live on your account, your brain doesn't know that you're live or not. What it knows is it's going to repeat the patterns that have lost you a bunch of money in your sim account. So these mirror neurons recreate things. That's why they say how you do one thing is how you do everything. Same concept. So when you said that there, Marky, in a state of uncertainty, you're going to look for uncertain trades. Yeah. That's not a theory. That's proven. And we should do an episode on the implications of mirror neurons, because it's a huge discovery in psychology. It's groundbreaking.
I like it. I like that as a topic idea. And I like the fact that, you know, you shared that as well as you did. That's really no surprise.
Thanks, man.
One of the other things I kind of wanted to mention, you know, based on the examples Georgie gave, were how, you know, two people can be seeing the same thing but interpreting it differently, right? And if you kind of relate this back to trading, right, you can effectively have two people looking at the exact same market, the exact same chart, and they will see things differently, right? Even though they're looking at the exact same information, the exact same data is coming through, but they're interpreting it differently based on, you know, the beliefs, what they're believing in, right? And so if you're coming in, you know, some person can see, for example, a market trading towards resistance, one person might be looking to get short, the other might be looking to get long, right? And both of them could be right.
They both believe they're right.
Yeah, exactly. They both believe they're right, but one person that might be uncertain might not take a trade if it's setting up, because they're coming in with that negative mindset, right? And then the other person might come in and they might disqualify the trade because they're seeing that as not a good enough opportunity to risk money on, right? So you'll very often, and I mean, this is at the end of the day, that's what a marketplace is, yeah, right? It's just a bunch of different opinions on what the current perceived value is, and people are, you know, wagering their money on that.
Have you ever had a situation where like you've been trading for a while, and I know you've had days like this. I have too. This is why I could speak to it. You know, you've been trading for a while, and then you get in a little bit of a rut, and everything you do turns to like poo. You know, like, I'm sorry, that's not a very technical term, but and so when that happens, it's interesting because I've heard this feedback a lot. People are like, no matter what I do, I always seem to screw something up.
Yeah.
If I get the right level and the market goes where I wanted to, I'm not in, or I got stopped out by a pick.
Sounds like me.
Yeah.
Or it sounds like me back in the day.
Computer froze. Oh my God. Yeah. Sierra charts froze. Something always happens to those people for why they can't get it. That's your psychology. If that's happening to you, that's not technical skill. That's not something you're missing in strategy. It's something you're missing in your psychology. You've wired your brain to look for negative outcomes. It's not going to let you get the positive outcome. You're executing a program and your subconscious mind is always right. It's going to get you to the result that you've programmed yourself to expect. So those are really key things that identify mindset and psychology and not strategy or any technical know-how.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And you know, this might be a little bit off cuff or off piece, we'll call it, but it kind of goes back to the fact that, you know, a lot of people, when they start off, they think they need the right strategy, right? Mm-hmm. You need the right strategy. I need to know where to enter, where to exit. I need to know the exact time when to get into the trade, right? Not really realizing that the mindset is so much more important than that, right?
Yeah.
Because we can literally provide the Trade Pro different strategies that we have. We can give it out there, and you know, I'd say probably 8 out of 10 people would fail with it.
Right, 100%. Right?
You can give the most basic strategies. Look at like the opening range breakout strategies, for example.
Right.
It's by definition, it is a profitable strategy, but it's profitable depending on the driver.
Right. Call
it. The driver being the trader, right? And the mindset, this is where the mindset part of it comes in. You know, so if you're a newer listener and you haven't really been able to catch up, what we would recommend is obviously start from the first episode. But a little quick summary here is that it's, you know, we often say 80%, 90%. I'm of the firm opinion psychology is 150% of successful trading. But that's the important part, right? So if you're stuck in a place where you're kind of hopping from strategy to strategy, looking for that holy grail, just understand that you got to look inside in order to get the results you want, not external and look for new strategies. It's all got to be work you got to put in, inward, really. And, you know, I'm kind of blabbing, but even when George was mentioning this, you know, I had that experience. I can speak on that because this was my experience when I started, was that I was seeing, you know, coming into it with uncertainty. And, you know, if I took a trade and I got stopped out on it, it would just kind of reinforce that uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I'd find next? I'd find another setup that failed because that's what was the front of my mind, right? That's what I was seeing at the front of my mind, and that's what I was kind of attracting into my reality. It's not until you get to the point where you accept the uncertainty, and then, you know, at the end of the day, it's either going to work or it's not.
Yeah.
Right? It's either going to work or it's not. And I think from my experience, a lot of the time I was kind of, it was hesitance, right? You get hesitant, and we're going to speak on how this kind of creeps into the trading, the actual trading part, or rather the execution part of the trading. But that was something that I found was big for me, you know, that uncertainty. And then once you get that uncertainty, if you get a trade that kind of cements that, in the sense that you find something, it doesn't work out, you kind of cement that in your mind, and then you just find more of that. You really just got to take a step back, detach, accept the uncertainty for what it is. We can't control that. But what you can do is you can control yourself and you can control your experience. And, you know, the unfortunate reality is you got to put in that work inward, right? It's a lot of people oftentimes, and I'm getting on a tangent here, but a lot of people oftentimes say, you know, I've put in that work. I've put in the, you know, did my back testing, did this, did that. You know, that's great, but that's not going to get you to that end goal. Right.
For sure.
Putting work is putting work on yourself, because at the end of the day, you are the arsenal, right?
Yeah.
And you got to be able to build up the tools in your arsenal, meaning your mindset, in order to execute with your tools effectively.
I really like that. I really believe, Mark, that if you have a winning mindset, you'll be a winning trader. You'll be a winning everything that you do in life. If you have a winning mindset, you're a winning trader. If you have a losing mindset, you'll be a losing trader. And no amount of systems, tools, indicators, strategies will help you out until you change that mindset. And I'll give you guys a little tip that I have of what I do. So when I discovered NLP probably around 4 years ago now, I only really started taking it serious like 3 years ago. And I could say that my mindset's changed like very drastically. I have like a thought wall. Like, you know, we protect so much. Our capital, we're very protective of, you know, our health, all this stuff. But we don't protect our thoughts nearly as much as we should. So I have this thing where I listen to new people that I haven't yet learned to trust, or I don't know what they're about. So anyone that's new that's speaking to me, I become aware of the thoughts that they're causing me to have. So for example, if somebody is saying something like, oh, well, you know, you got to have money to make more money. You know, that's a lack mindset. So I actually physically in my head say I reject that thought. Like I make it consciously aware that I don't want that to go into my subconscious mind. And so, you know, trading is the same way. If you're sitting at the computer with uncertainty and a negative thought comes up, you got to reject it, because if you do accept it, you're going to create it. That's the really cool thing, is the thoughts that we have shape our experiences. You know, people used to think, hey, if I only had more money, then my life would be good this way. Why don't you do what you think is good for you as if though you had the money, and you'll get it. Money is just a tool. So to summarize this from my perspective, what you should have learned so far is uncertainty is either factual or interpreted. And so this is a fact, the market is uncertain, but it's your responsibility whether or not you want to interpret that uncertainty as becoming uncertain, or do you want to interpret that with a positive mindset, saying uncertainty means that with all these potential outcomes, some of them got to be good.
Yeah, there's an opportunity. Yeah.
Anywhere where there's a whole bunch of outcomes and the outcome is uncertain, I immediately think about, okay, what are the positive outcomes? How can I get there? Because the thing about the market is you have to be timely too. While you're sitting there uncertain about the trade that you're going to take, by the time you convince yourself with these fake convincers are basically getting yourself off the ledge. You say, you know what, now it's time to buy it. What is the people's most common convincer of the market? If I'm looking for it to go up, I want to see it go up 10 points, then I'm going to buy it. Because now you believe it, you see it. By the time you convince yourself to get long, I'm the one selling it to you, right? So it's you have to think opportunity focused, because you don't have time to be uncertain. If you want to be uncertain, do it after 5 p.m. when the market's closed. You got all the time to be uncertain. But when the market's open, you know, the markets are uncertain business, but you got to come in with an opportunity mindset, focus, you know, think of how you're going to seize the day. And if you just separate those two, anytime you're feeling scared of an uncertain outcome, if there's fear, ask yourself, is this a factual fear or am I interpreting this fear? Because you don't have to allow it to get into your mindset. There hasn't been one time in my life, I think you said it last podcast, Mark, you're like, when's the last time thinking negative has done anything for you? Didn't you say that? I think you did. And
could be.
Never, never. There hasn't been one time in my life where I've had a negative thought where I couldn't have used that time more productively to do something positive, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds about right. I don't think there's ever been any time. I'm just trying to think back to my experience.
Let me give you a trading example. Let's say that based on the tools that we have available, we know that the market's going to move within the next 5 seconds, 10 points, right? And so start counting the 5 seconds, Marky, in your head, and let me know when it's over. Oh, you know, this trade, I don't know. I'm going to lose this trade. I think I should probably.
Over.
Look at that. Look, that was one thought. I had 5 seconds. Now, you know, most people take longer than that. So you're going to be getting in once the trade's over. So that was an example I want you to get, that any time you spend in negativity and fear is time away from productivity and making money. And so I think that one thing you could implement right away based on this episode is have an uncertainty stop. If you start feeling uncertain, then stop. You know, nothing good will ever come out of that. You got to be always opportunistic, positive mindset, have your strategy, be tactical, disciplined. And once these negative thoughts creep, it's over. Like the game's over for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Uncertainty is, like I said, had my experiences with it when I started off. And we're going to give you guys some more actionable tips to do this. But first, we've got somewhat of a exercise.
Yeah. Could you imagine your surgeon said, you asked him, what's my survival rate? I don't know. I'm uncertain.
Yeah.
Rather than saying, look, there's a 90% survival rate and I'm going to work as hard as I can to get you there. There are risks, But, you know, we're going to work towards it rather than, it's uncertain. You still want to do it? I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. If the surgeon tells you, I'm uncertain, you know, your mind's more likely going to go to the worst case scenario that you're likely going to die.
Or your pilot. Are we going to make this landing? I don't know.
Yeah.
Usually I do, but I'm not really certain about this one.
It works 60% of the time.
Yeah, exactly. Are you feeling lucky? So it's the same thing. We laugh at that, but as traders, you can't think about uncertainty. It's not your job. Your job's to get in there and just smack it.
Exactly.
Be tactical.
Exactly. So the role of uncertainty in trading. All right, we've kind of already glazed over the topic, but let's take a moment to jump into a little bit more detail. All right. So, you know, we've obviously made the point that trading in itself is uncertain, right? As traders, anything that occurs outside of our control, at the end of the day, it can cost us money and it can weigh on us psychologically. Right? And like we said, regardless of your trading experience, whether you're new, whether you're a seasoned trader, whether you've been doing it for, you know, 40, 50 plus years, anything can and will happen in the market. All right. And, you know, I'm sure George can attest to that. He's been in the industry longer than I have. And, you know, we've both heard of stories from other traders.
Oh, man. Thank God you don't have to be right to make money, Mark, because I'd be terrible at this.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I've been consistently wrong on a lot of, like, the election. I thought there's going to be a lot of volatility. All right. But I didn't get out there and short the whole market with my entire account size. I just said, look, the market's uncertain, but the good news is you don't have to have certainty to win.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so at the end of the day, you know, a lot of the people that come into the industry, it's trading kind of causes an internal conflict for them. And what I mean by this is that because of the unnecessary nature of this industry, when you say, I want to be a trader, right? There's that internal conflict between your subconscious brain, which, you know, we know now to be the amygdala, right?
Yep.
Yep. There we go. Just confirm. Right. So we got the subconscious brain, the internal battle between your logical and the subconscious brain. Right. And so when you're going into to trade, your subconscious brain is telling you, is sensing uncertainty. And you'll know from the earlier examples that anytime there is uncertainty to the subconscious brain, that is fear. That is it represents danger. And what you will do in order to survive the danger is you'll likely retreat. You know, due to the fear. The battle that goes on is between your subconscious and logical mind, in the sense that internally, your subconscious is telling you, get the heck out of here. What are you doing? This is dangerous. Your livelihood's at stake. But logically, you're saying, I want to be a trader, right? And when the subconscious and the conscious are misaligned like that, you know, that is where you start to get that overwhelming sense of uncertainty, and that, you know, I don't really have any control over this. And
yeah, can I just add something? I just thought of a great analogy, Mark.
Is I like analogy.
The subconscious, by the way, the amygdala isn't the subconscious, but it plays like it's like there's different components, and the subconscious is the function of them more so than one centralized area. But the amygdala is like your bodyguard. I just thought of a good analogy that you brought that up. Imagine you're on stage, you're a singer. You have a good singing voice?
No.
You're lucky you didn't say yes. We would have had a singing. So let's say you're on stage and you're singing. What do you pay your bodyguards for? If your bodyguard doesn't tackle somebody and no one tried to kill you today, are you going to say, I'm not paying you? No, you're paying them to deal with the uncertain aspects of your life you don't want to deal with or you're not prepared to. And so the amygdala is your bodyguard. So if you're on stage singing and your bodyguard runs to like knock you over because, I don't know, let's say there's a threat coming. Are you going to tell your bodyguard, no, let me sing? No, so that's
overruled.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, no, buddy, like you're in our control now. We're taking over. That's a subconscious mind and conscious. You're conscious saying, I want to be a trader, but your bodyguards are rushing to help you out because you need it. And that isn't, you don't wave over your bodyguards to say, hey, look, I think this guy's a threat. That's their job.
Yeah.
And that's what subconscious mind does. It perceives a threat, doesn't care what you think anymore. All rational thought shuts down. It's time to find safety. So that's how you could visualize it. So when you're trading, you know, if the bodyguards start running towards you, it doesn't matter that you want to be a trader. There's a danger. You gotta be prepared. The best way to do it is to not get yourself in bodyguard type situations. Play kosher. If you're out there like the snot, no, like I don't know how like the age group of our audience, but if you're Tekashi 6ix9ine in the trading industry, you need bodyguards. if you're going to get mouthy with people, your bodyguards are going to come and to your rescue a little more often. So just keep that in mind that when you're trading is there's things that your mind does to protect you. And once those things are activated, you're going to lose. There's no way you're going to win.
Yep, exactly. And, you know, a couple of the common ways that uncertainty, you know, creeps into your trading, we've already kind of alluded to, just to summarize, often, you know, the most common example is missing out on legitimate trading setups, right? Because of that fear, that uncertainty of what if it's wrong? What if I'm not right with this trade? What if I lose money? You pass out on that trade, and guess what? You get to see it work out.
Yeah.
And now you're likely frustrated because you should have had it down there. And the other thing is you probably at this point have some FOMO because I should have had it down here. It's up here now. Let me see what I can get out of it.
Yeah.
Right. And that's usually how it creeps up. Another way that we've kind of seen uncertainty creep up is in the outsourcing of uncertainty. So a lot of times new traders, what they will do is they'll want to learn the trade, but they won't really want to work on it.
Right.
Right. And what's the easiest way to outsource uncertainty?
Signals.
Signals. Bam. There you go. Right. So you got signals, you know, the people that they want those signals. It's just a means of outsourcing the uncertainty of whether something's going to work out or not. Outsourced. Very nice and easy. I'll give you an example of my own journey when I started. You know, this is what I was doing quite often when I started with penny stocks was I'd have an idea for a trade and then I'd be on Twitter. I'd be on Twitter putting in the ticker, seeing what other people are saying.
Yeah.
You know, if it was the same thing that I was going for, perfect. You know, my uncertainty has been, let's call it, we've certified that it is certain now because, hey, if other people are thinking the same thing I am, must be right.
Right.
Right. Take that trade. You can guess how it worked out. Not so good. So those are really some of the different ways that uncertainty tends to play a role in our trading.
Yeah. I mean, I have a lot of stories of uncertainty. Every day I wake up, my life's uncertain. I love it. I love uncertainty, by the way, because I look at it as opportunity. The word uncertainty to me evokes the same thoughts that opportunity does. Like, you know, like when there's a big important game and you're really excited to play it, that's just how it is when I face uncertainty. I'm like, let's do this. Like, this is cool. It'll be a challenge. But one of the biggest uncertainties of my life was leaving my cushy little job. You know, I had a pretty good career going for myself. I would have done extremely well. My parents would have been proud. I mean, not that they're not now, but I could tell you at the beginning, they weren't. My mom was like, what the hell are you doing? You're leaving school. Because to her, not school, you're leaving your like cushy bank job. To her, that's like the epitome of success. Safety, right? Like,
it's that dream.
And I left in September of 2016 to trade full time. And at the time, I was running the trading room, just literally trading with like 6 to 8 people. You know, and doing it more for fun. I was funding the business out of my own pocket at that point. And so I left in September of 2016, the corporate job to pursue my passion. And to make things uncertain even to another degree is my wife decided that same month she was going to leave to pursue her passion too.
You guys go all in.
Yeah, we just rolled. You know what she said to me when I told her? She's like, you know what? That's great. And when she told me, I was like, that's fantastic. At least we have each other to rely on. That whole thought process could have gone completely different. You know, that could have been like, we weren't even engaged at the time, but that could have been, some people break up over this kind of stuff. We just looked at each other like, you know what, at least we could support. We just looked at all the positives. And at the time, you know, people probably thought I was delusional. It's like, you know, back then when I was doing something uncertain, I was crazy. And now that it's working, I'm lucky.
Yeah.
You know, and like, I look at that and I just say, look, people are doing the best they can with the resources they have. But like that uncertainty is always opportunity. And if uncertainty brings fear, the kind of fear that cripples your excitement, the kind of fear that makes you uneasy, like that gut fear, you know what I'm talking about? You're like, I feel like this is going to be bad, but I'm going to do it anyways. I listen to like Tony Robbins and I'm going to take the jump. If you're feeling uncertain to the point it's causing negativity for you, you're not ready to do it. You might have the skill set to succeed, but the mindset isn't there. And when's the last time anyone's worked on their mindset? Never. I'm happy in society now. It's becoming a little bit more prevalent. They should teach this in school, by the way. But that's my story through uncertainty. Like, and when I look back on those days, to be honest with you, Mark, like the things that people were afraid about, it's because they love me. They're like, you know, we love you. We don't want you to fail.
Yeah.
The things that they were afraid of happening to me was never even a thought. Like, I hadn't even thought about it. This is like the story in the book when my mom said, well, what if you lose money? Or what if you don't make it kind of thing? You know, that was the first time I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Is this possible? I hadn't thought about it, and I was years into my journey. So what I'm here to tell you is, you know, uncertainty's there, but what you have to decide is, what kind of mindset are you going to carry? How are you going to show up to the game? And if you're showing up fearful, unprepared, then uncertainty is going to take you over, and it's going to create the negative outcome you're looking for. Whatever you have in your life, this is sometimes harsh. You know, friends that go through hard times don't call me as much anymore, because I'm like, you know, how did you create that? How did you deserve it? How are you responsible for what you're living? And they're like, oh, I just want, you know, somebody's shoulder to cry on. Not mine. Don't get my freaking Burberry shirt dirty and wet. I'm just kidding. But, you know, it's at the end of the day, you have to embrace it as a challenge. And trading is one of those areas. You know, a lot of our members are like, you know, I have a good job. I don't want to leave it until I have some kind of success. And the way I thought about it at the time is, I'm not going to have success unless I leave my job.
Yeah. And, you know, I'll speak to, I guess, my experience too with leaving the corporate world. And it was very similar to kind of what Georgie described, in the sense that I think George helped with the leap because, to be quite frank, George did help with the leap. And it was more so in the sense that, you know, there was the uncertainties, and he kind of helped me reframe my view of it, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, at the time I quit, I think in May 2018 it was. And I think it was a couple of weeks before that we were going up to play hockey together, and we were in George's old Accord.
I love these chats, man. Yeah. When we were driving the Accord and having a chat on the way to hockey, I love those nights. Fond yeah, memories.
Exactly. And so we were going up there, and I was telling George, you know, like, I'm thinking of quitting sometime in the next 3 to 5 years. I'm just holding off on it because of, you know, I was listing off X, Y, Z, why it can't happen now. Right. And then George, you know, as charismatically as he often does, just said, well, when is it going to be the right time? And I thought about that, and I couldn't really give a correct answer, if you will, because there is no perfect time, right? And he kind of helped me identify the fact that if there is no perfect time, why not now?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
If there's now is the perfect time.
Exactly. It's going to be now. And so that was definitely something that helped me along and helped kind of reframe my views, like I said, from what can possibly go wrong if I do this to, you know, the opportunities. It kind of shifted my mindset from that of, you know, I was afraid of the unknown to now being excited for the unknown.
You know, and that's a fantastic story, Mark, because everyone waits for the right time. Like, what are you, Jesus? How are you going to know when the right time is? Like, there is no right time. There's just a time. Think of it this way. The future may never happen. The past, you never get back. In terms of humanity and where we exist, you never exist other than right now. So I'm not telling you all to quit and start trading, but I am telling you that 3 years, the problem with doing things in 5 years is that it turns to 50. You know, it's, I'm willing to bet a lot of people in their later years in life who regret things, you know, they didn't say, I'm going to do it right now. They said, I'm going to do it in 5 years. And that turned to 50. I'm willing to bet the biggest cause of regret is putting things off to yeah. more right. Like even kids, when's the right time to have a kid? You know, but the contraceptive fails. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Like for us, for Reese and I, we just, you know, I wish I had a kid sooner now, Mark, in retrospect, because I realize I'm going to be 40 years old chasing around 4 kids under 10. That's our plan. So it's like, you know, waiting for the right time made me miss the boat on having kids earlier. We should have, you know, logically done it. There is no right time. Stop listening to people. There's just right now. And so that's a really powerful story with people who are grappling with this. I think right now and during COVID is an even better time.
Yeah.
You know, like how many people said, like, think about this. How many people say, if only I had a little bit of extra time, right?
Yeah. Yeah. This is exactly what I wanted to bring up was.
You do it because I've been yapping a long
was
time.
Most people will say, I'm going to do this when,
Yeah.
You know, and it's when I get this or when I achieve that or when I hit a certain age. And I think the reason why people do that is because, again, they feel like when they get to that point, they'll be certain. You know, when I achieve, yeah, when I can make $1 million, then I'll leave my job. Right. When I know I can raise my kids, well, I'll have kids. That's the uncertainty, right? Like that's the part that you have to go into not knowing, but just accepting the fact that it's uncertain. And like we've been saying throughout this whole show, you know, it's all dependent. Like your reality is all dependent on your mindset, right? If you're going into the uncertain with an optimistic mindset, with an abundant mindset, you're going to be fine.
You'll figure it out.
Yeah. Like you are going to figure it out. I can't tell you how many times, like how many experiences I've had between the date that I quit and today's date that stuff just seemed to work out.
Yeah.
In the end, just like, oh, you know, something's happening. 2 weeks later, perfect. You get, you know, it resolves itself somehow.
Even if you do try to plan, you couldn't have made a plan as great as the one that ends up working out.
Exactly. So even more recent example. So my wife and I are just about to purchase our first property.
Yay, congrats. Right?
Thanks.
I already knew that, but I still got excited.
Right. And so obviously with purchasing a new property, there's a whole bunch of uncertainty that goes around with it. I ain't scared. You know? At this point, you have the choice to be optimistic or negative about the situation, right? So it being, you know, my first real estate transaction, I could be thinking of, you know, what could go wrong with the mortgage? What can go wrong if the seller decides, well, seller can't do anything now, but
yeah, they're locked in.
Yeah. What if the seller does this? What if, you know, the inspection doesn't come out well? What if the appraisal doesn't come in, you know, at the value that I want it to? It doesn't matter.
Right.
It's going to work out in the end.
And when you looked at me in the eyes there, it's funny. You weren't telling yourself that. You said it to me. You're like,
yeah,
I don't care. I'm going to make this happen. Yeah.
And
I love that.
I can't tell you that, like, how comforting, as weird as it sounds, how comforting that feeling is, you know, feeling like you have control in a scenario of uncertainty.
That's living a cause. That's the mentality to say, I don't care what happens. I'm going to figure it out. And the timing, sorry, Marty, did I cut you off?
No.
The timing of COVID, this is going to sound very insensitive. I'm sorry. Like, I understand it's a pandemic. It's causing a lot of damage. I understand that. But remember, I'm a glass half full type of individual. This is one of the biggest opportunities maybe of our lifetime. And this, I'll say it to you like this. I think, like, you know, so many people say, if I only had more time, I'd start my business. If I only had some more time, I'd start my side hustle. I'd do this, I would do that. And I think Jesus got extremely pissed off and said, all right, guys, you want more time? Boom, pandemic. But now how many people are on the couch watching Netflix 7 hours straight? You know, my friend's like, I marathoned the show. You should do it. I'm like, no, thanks. I have other stuff to do. It's like, be careful what you ask for, because, you know, at one point you are going to have more time, but it's to see the same people who, and I'm not saying it's our listeners. Our listeners are a very motivated, sophisticated crowd, but to say, I wish I had more time to do these things, and that time comes and you waste it, you know, there's a cost for that. And I think the mental cost and burden of COVID, other than a pandemic, look at it, is, you know, unsatisfaction 5-10 years from now. Looking back at this time saying, I had the extra time, why did I just let it literally go to waste?
Exactly.
Make Jesus happy. Use the I've said Jesus a lot in this. Look, universe, whatever. I should say this. I'm not going to win any friends. I myself don't have one religion, but I believe in universe and energy and oneness. And so
I think we can agree we're not religious people. We're spiritual people.
100%. Like, religious people pray, I meditate. We're doing the same thing. We're connecting to source energy.
Exactly. And so let's get into some practical strategies now on how to deal with uncertainty in trading.
I feel like we went on a big, like, detour.
It's a heck of a segue.
Yeah.
But we done did it. We done did it. Let's roll this and wrap this bad boy up here. So what are some of the strategies you can use to deal with uncertainty in trading? Well, first and foremost, clarity. All right, if I were to summarize it in one word, clarity. Have a clear idea on what you are looking for. And I don't know if it really is much of a surprise at this point. Clarity is part of a trading plan.
And that's your show, guys.
You're going to need a trading plan to have clarity, right? So you're going to want to be very, very clear on your ideal trading setup and you want to really make it as binary as possible, right? Whether you're, I guess this is applicable more so for discretionary traders, right? What's it called? The mechanical or the systematic traders are pretty binary as is. But if you're discretionary, you're going to want to make it as binary as possible. You don't want to be sitting there looking at the screens wondering, is this right? Should I do this? I don't know if it's got gone. Right? Yeah. Like, it's gone. And so that's really number one, is you want to have a lot of clarity on, start with one setup. You know, you don't need a whole arsenal of setups to make money. You need one. Master it. Right? Master it. Make it clear. Make it the only thing that you know when you see on the charts. And if you don't see that, you're not trading.
We've said that in every podcast episode.
Almost everyone. Number two, Yep.
Can I do this one?
Sure.
I got excited about this one. Do not overcomplicate your strategy. And I want to mention one thing on this. A lot of times when traders approach the charts, what they're trying to do is find a solution to every problem. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like if they got stopped out, they're like, why did I get stopped out? And they'll work for hours trying to figure out how to change their whole approach, their whole reason for existence, just so that one trade doesn't get stopped out again. And I think what's more important than trying to fix every problem is how to have a framework, which is your strategy. How will you cope with problems? Not enough time spent on how you're going to cope with the challenges. Too much time spent on trying to eradicate every single losing trade. Understand that because it's a fact the trading is uncertain, you're going to have a loss. And you're not trying to avoid all losses. You're trying to make losses cheap and get winners to make you a little bit more money. So the simpler things are, I think one of the biggest surprises for newer traders is how simple a professional trading strategy is. Look at Pax Trader. We talked about him this morning. You guys can follow him on Twitter. Shout out to Pax. You know, he's not sponsoring this podcast, but he should. And so, but anyways, Pax, he puts out his whole strategy out there. He says, look, guys, this is everything that I use to make money on a daily basis. And people look at it and they're probably like, oh, he's hiding the secret sauce. There is no secret sauce. The secret on the secret sauce doesn't exist. Don't overcomplicate it. I like the, I don't know how you're going to feel about this, but I like the Donald Trump strategy to policy. Remember at the beginning he said, you know, it's too complicated. For every one new thing I'm going to put into law, I'm going to remove the other. Like I'm going to one in, one out kind of thing. I like that approach for trading as well. And when I look at trader screens with like 16 indicators, then the price action, the thing that matters, a tiny window, I'm like, remove something. If you're going to add something new to your strategy, that means there's an opportunity to remove something else. Because at a certain point, you're looking at too much info. Don't overcomplicate it. I know simple doesn't feel like it's effective, but simple works. And if you think you need more, that's probably a confidence issue.
Exactly. Simple is consistent, right? You can do something simple consistently. Whereas if you're overcomplicating things, you are going to run into analysis by paralysis. You might have, you know, one indicator telling you to go one way, you know, to buy, the another indicator telling you to sell, and you're sat there confused as all heck, not really knowing what to do.
It's hard not to be confused. And your MACD says something else, and your John D and your Eric B's, I don't know, I just start throwing random, but RSIs, MACDs, you know, momentum, divergent, MACD is a divergence. You know, I don't use too many indicators, as you can tell, because not many came to mind. Price action. If you can't win with price action, your indicator is not going to help you. If you're not driving your car looking at the gas gauge, you're looking at the road. Gas gauge just is important info at certain times. So, you know,
unless you're in a Tesla.
Unless you're in a Tesla, then you're probably sleeping with like burger sauce all over your shirt as the thing's driving down the freeway at 130 kilometers an hour on its own.
Oh, man.
You trust the Tesla to bring you somewhere safe, but you don't trust yourself to trade. It's crazy.
Yeah. Food for thought.
Tesla's exploding higher today as we record.
As we're recording, exactly. Another thing you guys can do, and this is a big one, it's reframe the way that you look at trading by affirming the fact that your job as a trader is to follow the plan.
I don't like this one. I'm just kidding. Not a lot of
people will like this one. But the unfortunate reality is that your job as a trader is not to win or lose. It's to follow your plan. A majority of the time when something happens that, A majority of the time when something happens that is uncertain, which is trading the markets, right? Embracing that uncertainty means that you've got to accept that there is uncertainty. And as traders, you know, we've kind of drilled this point in, you can't avoid uncertainty. We're forced to face it. And, you know, better yet, you got to understand that you're never going to totally comprehend or understand every single move in the market, what's going to happen next. And you know, the beautiful part about it is you don't have to know what's going to happen next, right? And the issue that people kind of get into is that, and I think we mentioned this in the prior episode, is that they attach themselves to the result, right? So, you know, you kind of, when you take a winning trade, you think it's something to do with you, with your talents. But when you take a losing trade, you start to think that it's certain mistakes that you're making, right?
Market's rigged.
Exactly. Market's rigged, or, you know, I'm so stupid. I should have known not to put the trade in there. There was this, there was that. Throw that stuff out. All right. That's all hindsight. Hindsight is 20/20. Your job as a trader is to look at your plan and how you executed it. Did I follow my plan? If yes, perfect. Mm-hmm. You know, if not, so it is what it is, right? But when you reframe it from thinking, oh, I have to make money, like I have to be perfect on every trade, you don't. You just have to, your only job as a trader is to follow your plan. And that mindset change really allows you to kind of step back, shake off any losses as they might occur, and carry on.
I love this one, Marky. I'll give you a reframe of uncertainty, because this is what we're dealing with on the podcast. And you just brought up a really good point. I think everywhere in your life where you believe you have certainty, I use the word believe, all right, you're being used in some sense. Because think about a business in nature. You know, you think you have certainty in your employment, but the business you work for is a completely uncertain entity, right? So everywhere...
What are you trying to say?
Not like I'm using you guys, but we're all being used technically. You know, if you're looking for... Here's the thing about safety. All right, so, you know, you're in your 30s, you're going to make some money. In your 40s, you're going to be loyal to the organization. You're going to save some. In your 50s, your kids are going to go to college. In your 60s, you're going to have some retirement money over. In your 70s, you're going to, you know, enjoy it, but modestly. In your 80s, you're going to die. So how does that sound for a life? You know, that's certain if you want to, you know. Or what about another alternative is, you know, you could take a chance. This thing is impermanent that we call life anyways. We're all going to go. You know, take a chance to create something great. And if you fail, you're going to learn. And if you keep trying, you're going to succeed or run out of time. We're all going to run out of time. So we can't really hedge that bet out. So at the end of the day, like, you know, when you're looking for things that are certain in a world full of uncertainty, you're being taken advantage of by somebody who's using you under the framework of, hey, yeah, I'll give you something certain, and taking the risk, but also getting the reward. The truth is there is no reward in certainty, right? And that's what changed my mind. Like I consider myself to be lucky in a sense that I was never pessimistic. I would have some dark views once in a while, you know, coming out of a neighborhood I did with, like, you know, we didn't have much money. I remember sleeping on a mattress on the ground in Scarborough with cockroaches. I remember waking up and like killing cockroaches. I'm not even kidding you. And like during that time frame, I was the luckiest person in the world. You know why? Because I had time. I had time. Nobody expected anything of me and I had time. I'm like, this is perfect.
Yeah.
You know, and so the reality is this, life is uncertain. And how you choose to carry yourself through it is going to create outcomes. Outcomes that have certainty aren't good ones, right? Like, certainty sounds safe, but it's never really exciting. So do you want to be safe or do you want to be excited and live a fulfilling life? It's that deep to me, this concept. So when I heard we're going to do the episode on this, I rubbed my hands. I said, oh, baby. Rant/over. Did that help, Mark?
I think so. I think it's definitely going to help the audience.
Did you have a time in your life where, you know, like, were you, let's take it back to like a younger Mark. Mm-hmm. Were you the type that thrived more in certain or uncertain conditions?
That's a good question. I mean, I spent a lot of time as a kid, like, exploring. If I wasn't doing sports, I'd be out in nature.
Yeah.
So I guess it was, I've kind of always been around uncertainty.
Yeah.
So...
And sports too, like you played sports competitively.
Well, there's the uncertainty of going to a tryout, not really knowing if you're gonna make it or not. And again, same thing.
And you 30 know, teams in most things are competing for the same cup. Yet I think most of them believe they're gonna win that year.
Yeah. Well, here's something interesting to kind of answer that. You know, a lot of the tryouts I used to do
were I'd have teams that I really wanted to play for and teams that was like, eh, you know, it'd be nice to play on. It'd be all right, you know, as a worst case scenario. I almost never got picked for the teams that I wanted to play for, because I'd always go in with the negativity.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm realizing this now, so it's taking a little bit longer, but I realize now, almost probably 20 years later, that, you know, it was the uncertainty of whether you're going to make it or not. And to me, like, that uncertainty was, if there's uncertainty, if I don't know if it's going to happen, it's probably not going to happen.
And you were probably thinking longer about the teams, and you were researching the teams as a worst case scenario longer. And therefore, like, that's where you end up. And yeah, I think that's very representative of life as well. Like, it, even during my hardest times, you know, people said I was special. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. But like, I think that for me, it was never really like the way I thought. Let me give you a sentence that will summarize my thought process. 50 Cent. You know, I listen to a lot of hip hop. Album name, Get Rich or Die Trying. That's like,
classic.
That's it. To me, it's Get Happy or Die Trying. Like, I always thought that I'm going to fight as hard as I can for as long as I can to create things. There's no amount of money that's going to make me happy, because money doesn't make me happy. What makes me happy is creating and making an impact.
Yeah.
And I'm lucky that in this world that makes money. Otherwise, I'd be a bum. And so I just love to create and to improve. And I have this drive, like, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to thrive. And the more uncertain things are, the happier I get, because I think of more opportunities. So, I mean, that's another massive detour. But yeah, what's the next one? Build positive attitudes?
That's the one. So another practical strategy. Hope you guys are enjoying these. I know we're getting on some tangents here. Might make the episode a bit longer than we planned for. But, you know, if the value is there, we got to give it to you guys. So
if the product's hot, they can't deny it.
Exactly. So building positive attitudes towards different market conditions that might arise and the different challenges that trading them brings, right? So, you know, oftentimes people will say, you know, the market's not really trending. I don't know if I want to trade today. You know, I'm not going to do anything today. And then they might end up trading that day, right? Or they might say something like, you know, I guess a good example is summer markets. Right. Yeah. Summer markets generally tend to see a retraction
yeah.
in volatility and in range. So obviously there's not as much opportunity, but there's still opportunity.
Right.
And so if you're coming into it saying, you know, summer markets, there's not really going to be much opportunity. Guess what? That's what you're going to get. You're going to get not much opportunity. There is going to be opportunity, but because you've already come in with the idea that there's not going to be a lot of opportunity, you're going to get exactly what you're thinking.
That's how you're going to look at it.
Exactly.
Then you're going to overtrade. Then you're going to lose half of your account. And when the opportunity comes, now your wins are smaller.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because you got less money. It's simple math. This business, this is really good. This is like right around the level of math I'm comfortable with.
Off the top of your head. 1 + 1.
Yeah. Is a window.
Yeah. Is a window. Yeah. Oh man, that's a good one. Kind of aged ourselves with that joke.
Yeah.
So as we're going to wrap up this episode here, you know, there is a couple of quotes, and I like quotes. And obviously we do some research when we put these notes together. And here are some quotes I think hold relevant, especially relevant to this, right? So use uncertainty as a tool. It's an opportunity to reach out of your comfort zone. How much you learn about yourself is going to be directionally proportionate to the amount of risk that you take.
You should have just read that at the beginning. We could have ended the show in 2 minutes. Yeah.
No, I know. That doesn't mean you want to take a crazier amount of risk, you know, something that's doesn't really make sense, but just get out of your comfort zone. You know, whether that means putting on your first trade, maybe you're uncertain about going from demo to live, right? It could be as simple as just taking that first trade and then going from there. Another quote that I really, really like is from a trading psychology coach. It goes by the name of Randy Howell.
We should interview him.
We should. And he runs Trader State of Mind. And when asked about uncertainty, he said that, like a surfer in the ocean, the wave can care less if you're there or not. It's uncertain until you develop the skills and edges to surf it properly. In trading, uncertainty is the rule. However, if you're triggered to fear rather than the risk of uncertainty, suddenly you start thinking fearfully, finding fearful solutions, you start hesitating, or you impulse trade to get out of it.
Wow. That's a great place to put this in the podcast. That summarizes everything we've said in a nice little bundled sentence. That's amazing, honestly. And as a person who surfed before, I don't consider myself a surfer. Surfing is a really, really similar thing to trading, believe it or not. Because you just take guesses. Like, yeah, this looks like a decent wave. And by the time it gets to you, it's either going to be a wave that you're not prepared for or a wave that you're like, oh, well, this one sucked. But you got to jump in either way. Either way, you're going to get pushed.
Yeah, exactly. And really, the last quote here that I want to end this episode on is something that I think is so true.
Oh, that's good.
I think it's so true. And here it is. The wonderful thing about trading is that most of us spend a lifetime avoiding our psychological demons. In trading, they're going to stalk you and they're going to find you.
Oh, baby. Do they ever?
And do they ever?
That's a great quote.
It continues on. Trading is going to provide you with a platform that's going to give you a scalpel to look at your psyche. And you're going to have to reorganize it in order to be a really good trader.
Wow. You know, I didn't really know how psychological of a business this was till I did it. And then more importantly, I didn't really know, other than my ambition, I didn't really know how unprepared I was from a trading psychology standpoint, from a psychology overall, like a mental strength, until I took this plunge. And nobody could prepare you for it. That's the beauty of the journey. You got to experience it. Because when your parents, you know, parents and people around us that we listen to, when they have this idea of how to set you on a path for success, that's their assumption based on what is right for you. But it's so crazy to me how few people really spend time working on their psychology. Like, the brain and your psychology is what you got. And so many times people look outward when really you got to look inward. And I think if that quote didn't give you goosebumps, I got goosies. I don't know what will. That's great, Mark.
Perfect.
What do you got on that? Do you agree? Like, did you think, when you first started, to be honest, did you think it was more a technical or psychological challenge?
100%. I thought it was technical. You just got to learn how to do it and you do it.
That's why engineers love this, getting into this field, but they have the hardest time. Yeah,
it's like you got to learn to, you know, you realize that at some point in the journey, after you've taken enough cuts and scrapes, you realize that you have to become a different person to get the results that you want. And oftentimes, if you're like, you're spinning on that hamster wheel.
Yeah, yeah.
It's because you're not that person yet. And what was it? I think Matthew McConaughey with that quote he gave for, I think he won an Emmy or an Oscar, and he said a bunch of things, but the main point he said was that the third person that I look up to is myself in 10 years.
Yeah.
Because I know I'm never going to achieve it, but it gives me somebody to look up to. And, you know, at the end of the day, if you're going to be a successful trader, you're going to have to be, by relation, in being a successful trader, you're going to have to be a good person, right? And that was a big realization for me, is that, you know, you really got to focus inward, make sure that you are, you know, your foundation, your mindset, your psychological foundation is solid, right? And in doing all of these things, you're going to have to learn about self-awareness, your own emotions, you know, emotional intelligence, all of these things. And not only will it make you a better trader, it's going to make you a better person. And the only way that you can kind of come to that realization is by taking the plunge.
Love it. It's such a good way to end it. I just want to, I'll do two sentences max. Ready? I'm on the clock. I almost shouldn't say anything, but now I have to. You know, when I started trading, Marky, I did it for the money. I think it's silly to say it.
I think we all do.
Yeah, you're like, hey, I'm going to do it for the money. I didn't think about the other benefits. Having experienced this journey now, what, like 20 years into it, I can honestly tell you the money is the least significant benefit of it all. It's insane. But that's like, you know, somebody, you look at somebody and say, well, yeah, it's easy for you to say now, but like, I'm at the beginning of my journey. I'm still after the money, but it takes, you're going to have to take, what was the pill in the Matrix that he ended up taking? The red one to experience the Matrix or the blue?
I think the red one.
Let's just say it's the red. If it's the blue, then take the blue one. Yeah, but
don't fact check us here.
Yeah. You should probably consult your doctor before taking pills anyways. But let's say you take the red pill, you take the plunge, you know, then you're going to learn these lessons. And I hope that you do, because I think in anything we do in life, the money is the least important always. Like, this is such an opportunity to develop yourself personally like nothing else. You know, trading is the industry of personal development. You know, I can attest to that by the amount of questions we get. The ones that succeed come into our portal and do the trading psychology courses. Yep. One of the most successful traders, you know, of our community, the most successful traders always say, wow, tell everyone to take the psychology course. And guess what? New traders, that's the last thing they're thinking about taking.
Yeah, that's exactly true. And I did have one more point that I wanted to bring up to really mic drop this. And that is, you know, the concept of getting into trading for the money. I think a lot of us obviously come in with the intention to make money, but if that's your only reason for trading, you're probably going to fail.
Yeah,
for sure. You're probably going to fail. And this is what I mean in the sense that you've really got to take the plunge in order to learn this and to experience this yourself, is because you're going to go through challenges. And, you know, it's emotional. It's emotional challenges that you're going to have to deal with. And, you know, if the only reason you're trading is to make money, you know, it's not going to be worth it. The emotional challenges just for the sole purpose of making money, not really worth it. But, you know, if you reframe your goals for it, such as, I'm not here to make money, but I'm going to use the profits from trading as a tool to maybe start my own charitable foundation, maybe do this, maybe do that, give it a deeper purpose. And that is going to bring about a lot more certainty in your life. You can drop the uncertainty, you can get into the industry, and you can kick butt.
We, Dreger and I, a good friend, were in California. He was on family vacation, and my wife and I were out there for some training. And so we met up. I think we're Laguna Beach. And this is what happens when two traders get together. And we're at the pool, and this girl comes around with like 10 drinks. She's selling them, right? And then I don't know if it was me or Dreger that said it. This was a few drinks in. She had the full tray, and she was like, oh, these are $5 each. It's like, you got a lot of them. They're going to get hot. You're going to go back, and you're going to have to dump them. It's only worth three. You know what I mean? If you only had one, I'd give you six for it. So like, it really changes the way you think. You rewire yourself for success. I love you guys. I'm going to be quiet now, and I hope you enjoy this podcast.
There you go, guys. That's all for today's episode. A little bit lengthier, I think, but nonetheless jam-packed with value. So thank you guys so much for taking the time to listen, especially if you made it this far in. If you guys, as always, can think of anybody that might find today's message helpful on their journey, please feel free to share it with them. And also, if you guys are on iTunes, please, please drop us a rating and review. Helps put these messages out to traders so that we can help the global trading community. Till next time, guys. Good luck and good trading. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Mind Over Market podcast. You can find us at tradeproacademy.com.